Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me.
This is Mike Cosentino again, one more time.
And we have two guests in the studio today with us, and we'll introduce them in a minute. But first, I'd like to thank the president of the college.
Yavapai College.
Yavapai College, for coming and speaking with us last week, and for one of the members of the board and board of governors.
Harold.
I thought they made a Harrington. I thought they made a very good case for their side of this kind of dispute. But to some extent, we've never questioned the value of the college. In fact, exact opposite. I think we're one of the things that Arizona could do would strengthen the economy, not only here but everywhere, is to strengthen their community college system, because that's where the jobs come from, that's where the training, that's where people get better income. So we're not questioning that. We're not questioning the teachers. We're not questioning the dedication of the administration. We're questioning what, Mike? How they spend their money.
Well, the 10-year plan, and that's kind of what started all this. Is Bob Oliphant's here this morning, and his resignation and his response to the 10-year plan and what it does, what it shows to Cottonwood and Clarkdale and Sedona, basically. And there's a few other big things from that, but that's where we're at. The 10-year plan doesn't seem to bode well for either academic development or economic development in the Sedona Cottonwood area.
And we've been hearing problems with the college neglect and stuff for years, but it isn't until Bob Oliphant began to catalog it all, describe it all, that we had a lot of objective information about what was going on. Before, it was all, what you call hearsay, Mike. It was just...
This thing between Prescott and the Verde Valley has been going on different levels for a long, long time. So this was, for some people anyways, just one more argument between that side of the mountain and on our side of the mountain. But when we're talking about closing campuses, when you're talking about cutting programs, this all of a sudden doesn't become a little academic argument or the usual whining of Verde Valley about Prescott or Prescott whining about Verde Valley. Then it becomes more concrete, and that's why we've been talking about it these several weeks now.
And the college in the Verde Valley, when you take pieces out of the whole thing begins to get shaky and fail. There's a drop of enrollment. Last time I've been there, when there was a ton of students around, we went there this last week, it's almost nobody on campus anymore. I thought the college's strongest argument, and give it to Bob Oliphant and Ruth Wicks here, who are both activists trying to change how the college organizes in the Verde Valley, was when president of the college, Willis, said that they spent a great deal of money on the Verde campus. They didn't need to spend any more money, and that's why they're spending the whole $103+ million over the next 10 years over in Prescott and Prescott Valley. Bob, Ruth, you got a comment?
I probably have a long comment to that. Could I just comment briefly on some of the things they said and bring just some minor corrections, actually,
sure,
some
absolutely.
Of it's major. I'm sorry about it, if I could, before I answer that.
You mean reaction to the last show?
Yes,
reaction to the last show. Yeah, good.
One of the things that you did at the very outset, you asked a very simple question of the college. And that question was how many, and I'm quoting because I have a transcript of the radio program, how many people live here? You were referring to this Verde Valley. And the response that came from the college, again, I'll quote from the record, was, quote, quite a few, period, unquote. And I thought, I wonder what that is about. We are talking in our concerns about what's happening here about 65,000 residents of this county, fully 30% of the county residents live on this side of the mountain. And I thought, goodness, it's important that you start and understand what we're talking about. This is not half a dozen people in some remote village. It's a significant number of people who are being deprived of a reasonable opportunity to obtain a community college education. It's as simple as that. But it was a good question you asked. I am stunned, I guess, that the college simply didn't address that issue, because it really is the beginning point here. That's who we're talking about, these people. A second point, and I actually could go on a long time as I went through, and I'm not going to do that, but there was 3 or 4 minutes in the opening part of the show about the loss of state aid and how drastic this was, that there were cuts, big cuts in faculty and programs and other things because of state aid. So what some of us do when we hear things like that is we go and obtain the audited financial records of the college to see exactly how much state aid, in fact, was coming to the college and how much they lost. And what you discover when you do a careful examination of the audited financial records is very simply that in 2011, the college had a stream of revenue of $55 million. It was $55,511,000. 2 years later, after the cut, okay, after they lost this money, their stream of revenue is $55,372,000. In other words, from 2011 to 2013, the drop, according to the audited financial documents, mm-hmm. and they're online, you can get them, was only $139,000.
But they lost over $3.5 million in state aid.
They did. And how did they make that up?
I don't know.
They made that up by increasing the property tax rate, by increasing the tuition revenue, and because property values increased. They suffered almost no financial cash flow loss because of
it. They just weren't getting the money from the state.
That's exactly right. They replaced the money with no difficulty whatsoever.
Well good, difficulty. Good on them. They the budget didn't suffer.
That's
so
right.
Their talk, you know, that the reason they're cutting back all these campuses, the reason they're cutting back all these programs, is because they lost state aid, doesn't hold water when you actually look at the figures.
There is no financial support for that kind of conclusion based on audited financial records online available to anyone listening to this program. They can look it up.
What about their argument that they spend as much money basically in the Verde Valley as they take out in tax revenue? And it's in $12 million and change being $256,000 plus, but that's change. That's their argument. We're spending as much money here as we're taking out of here, so you guys shouldn't complain.
That's another fallacious argument. I'm astonished that the college puts out this misleading information. I mean, it's completely misleading. They provided members of the Sedona City Council with, I think it was the Sedona City Council, with information, financial information, showing what they thought were the average Verde Valley expenses. And I have that document in front of me, and you have copies in front of you. And it's a very simple document. They say in the year 2013, they're going to spend $6,339,000 on the Verde campus in both direct and indirect expenses. They say they're going to spend $711,000 on the Sedona campus. Now, how much does that come to? You tell me. Approximately, they're going to spend in total in direct and indirect expenses how much?
$7 million.
$7 million. Okay. Everyone see that. All right. Now, they provided the average revenue from the Verde Valley. They provided it. Nothing I looked up. And tell me what, from their document, they say the revenue is.
$12 million?
$12 million. Okay. So if you got $12 million revenue, so far you're doing very well.
Thank you. 20, 20, 20
I get so tired of
Mike
people saying
forestry and right. poetry, so he's doing good.
Moving on.
I get so discouraged with people saying we're making figures up when we take their documents and analyze them just carefully. So if we got $12 million revenue and we've got $7 million in expenses, what's the excess revenue coming from the Verde Valley?
Well, some people might characterize that as a $5 million subsidy to the other side of the mountain.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
right. But they're saying it's capital expenses, Bob.
Now, how are they going to cover up what they're doing here? If that's what they wanted to do, and pretend that they are doing something else every year. Well, what they did was to improve the campus, which they admitted was in really bad shape on your show last week. They conceded that. They had to put in electricity. They had to put in water, sewer, air conditioning. The whole plant had to be rebuilt. All right. That cost over $10 million. They also went ahead and reorganized the buildings over there. They built a district warehouse in addition to that, but they reorganized, they eliminated, faculty tell me, about half of the classrooms. That cost another $9 million, okay? So that comes to
$19
million. $19 million. So when they say $19 million and they spread it out over 3 years, that's correct. Well, where do you suppose that money came from? They paid for it. From somewhere. Did the taxpayers pay it on a general bond? Was there a general bond issue on that?
It hasn't been in since 2000.
No.
For a while.
And I should add, while they were investing $19 million in trying to save the Verde campus, they were investing $20 million on the other side for a big new chiller, for their performing arts upgrade, for new renovations of dormitories.
Basically air conditioning or?
No, they have a big heating plant over there that they had to completely rebuild. It was very expensive, almost $11 million for that heating plant. So they, during a period of 3 years, are spending almost, what's that, Ruth?
$40
million. $40 million, right. Without asking for a general bond, which is good. Well, where is this money coming from? Is this an everyday expense? Of course it's not. They have been saving money in their capital projects accumulation fund for years and years and years. And they had a lot of money by 2010, 2011. That money came to these projects. It was a one-time, just like you build your house, okay?
Right.
It was a one-time total expense. That's all it was. It has nothing to do with running the campus on an everyday basis. But they mix this in to confuse people, to mislead people, to give a false impression that somehow it costs more than $12 million every year to operate these two campuses. Isn't that a shame? I mean, I just think that's not fair to people when you do something like that.
The other thing is the figures all come from them, and allocated expenses when I worked in business is a very tricky thing because that basically allocated expenses are the Prescott campus's bill to the Verde campus for the services rendered, some of which are actually very legitimate and absolutely necessary. There's just no way to check how much of those figures are correct and accurate and or not because you can allocate the money in lots of different ways.
You know, in some ways, what Bob is showing us is very exciting news for people in the Verde Valley because now we can legitimately say ah, indeed, we can run these two campuses ourselves with the money that we generate here and even do a better job than has been done in the past. And so it's very, very exciting that financially we're capable of creating an independent administrative campuses for both Sedona and the Verde.
That is exciting that we finally, because the figures
exactly.
were a little obscure.
Exactly.
You know, and the big question was, can we do it? Is there enough money? Do we need to be subsidized by by the Prescott camp or the other side of the mountain? Is there? And if we do, would they? And so then it goes back to the Prescott over the mountain fight that we need their support. But it seems clear that we don't necessarily need their support. I do think, as this conversation goes on, that duplicating services that could be done, you know, central purchasing, other things that you don't need to duplicate, that to me just makes sense. It's I don't know why you'd want to duplicate some functions. There has to be a large degree of cooperation.
The Verde campus is supposedly getting $2 million worth of those things from Prescott, and they could continue that, I think, as an administrative district, mm-hmm. having a lot of the purchases and stuff done over there. There's no reason to, completely separate this?
I don't think so. I really think that we can base it on something like Maricopa Community College has, and our trip down to ASU with Dr. Hesse, who was the provost at Chandler Gilbert Community College, said that with a vote from the district governing board of Maricopa Community College, they instituted all the 10 campuses that stretch across that county to serve those people. So it's within the power of our district governing board to ask for information along those lines, because I think it can easily be done, we won't have to be going through this thing where people are so upset. I think it should be seen as something, a real positive movement, that we have come of age and we are capable of running our own campuses, as was shown in the statistics, right, that the college has given us about censuses of the population, student population. We, the Verde campus and Sedona campus, every year annually, when I was there from 98 to 2005, we were always 2-3, sometimes even 5% growth as compared with all the other campuses throughout Yavapai County. So I think that we could easily do that again.
And how much money is available then from your figures to help fund the college, Bob?
Well, using their figures, I don't use any of my own figures, they say it costs $7 million. I'll accept that. That means we have a $5 million surplus to do whatever we want to do to improve that campus every single year.
Maybe keep the nursing program, a film school, all kinds. We can think of things to do with $5 million.
Clearly,
the other thing is that property values are going up 5% a year, certainly in Sedona. So if it's $6.6 million that they collected from the Sedona district this last year, it's just going to keep going up.
Correct.
Within 10 years, you get 5% and then you get 5% on top of that year after year, it's going to end up being doubling in a decade or something. I have to check it out.
Would it be fair to say that the Maricopa system is a model for I don't know.
I don't know if it's a precise model, but it certainly is something that we can emulate. I would prefer a cooperative arrangement with the college, with the existing administration, a close cooperative relationship.
Yeah.
But I would want this side of the mountain, the 30% of the population in the county, to have total and complete control of their community college system. It's the only way you're going to get away from the pattern of behavior where every time the issue comes up, the answer is, we've got more people over here on the Prescott side. Thus, you put in a multi-million dollar Olympic swimming pool over there. You build a beautiful baseball field. You build a multi-million dollar performing arts center. On and on and on it goes. Tennis courts. We're building tennis courts over there. Why not over here? Not enough population. You can never win if their argument is as simple as that. We got more people. We can never win, and the community college educational system here as demonstrated by the enrollment figures, is on the virtual almost extinction.
Let's talk about a specific application, if it's okay. We have this letter here from Rick Rosenzweig and talking about the film program. If I can summarize this kind of quickly, what some of these cuts and some of these limitations over here translate to seems to be, if I'm reading this correctly, that at one point the college provided a space for a college program here in Sedona, and now students are having to pay for the same space within a year's time?
That's exactly what the letter says. I received a call from him, and I said, I need documentation for anything I say or do. Would you be willing to send a letter to the governing board? And he said he would. He asked me if I would read it to the governing board. And you can see very clearly, here are students who are in the film school wanting to complete this semester effectively. According to the letter, the college would not provide funds for the rental of the space. So the students went out and rented it themselves. In my world, that, if everything in this letter is true, is very unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
We did ask them what was happening with the film school, and president of the college gave an account of why they broke with the Zaki Gordon Film School that had the program here for so many years. And then we asked them, well, if that was aimed at improving the program, why is the enrollment spiraling downward since you did that? So I don't have horse in that fight, or whatever you want to call it, a dog in that fight, about whether it should be Zaki Gordon or something else. But when you do something and then things go down instead of back up, then there are questions, right?
There are questions, and more than that, this film school brought pride to the community of Sedona. People took real pride in it, and in building a community college in any community, pride is important. Regardless of the problems, and I don't know about all those problems either, there was real pride here. You asked a question about, didn't the film school win a whole bunch of awards? That's from your transcript. Response from the college, again, I'm taking it from this transcript, well, they have won some. And I sat and I thought, wait a minute. This film school has gained an international reputation, regardless of its problems, an international reputation. And it had garnered 2 Student Academy Award nominations.
Wow.
I mean, imagine that. They competed.
You mean like the Academy Awards, like last night?
They competed successfully with the biggest programs in the country. Yes.
God, I'm sorry.
I mean, it's astonishing. It was a terrific program, bringing pride to the community, giving it state, national, international recognition.
Well, and prestige.
And it had problems.
It was a prestigious program, for sure.
Someone with management skills or something should have stepped in. But to remove this from this community, you're cutting into the guts of the community itself. You're taking the soul out of it.
There's nothing left of the Sedona Center for Technology and Arts except the film program, which is being put on hiatus or suspended rather than gotten rid of. But it just, if they sell the facility out there, Bob, will it ever come back? I mean, what are they doing with that? It wasn't clear when I was talking to the president of the college what is actually happening with the Sedona Center.
Well, it's when they announced their 10-year plan, in the first 3 years, they have Sedona lease. So the only inference you can draw from reading that is that they intend to sell it. And they've got to sell it because they are completely enamored with this huge project over in Prescott Valley of a $45 million complex joining with the University of Arizona or Arizona
NAU.
State or NAU, right. Right, okay.
You can tell he's a newbie.
Right, yes, I'm sorry about that. But joining with the universities, or that for them, joining with these universities, sitting down with university presidents, building big things over there is really important to them. Ruth has said it many times, and I agree with her. They've simply lost the mission of a community college. They just are not looking in that direction anymore. And they got to sell this campus to finance that construction.
Well, you know, if I could just say, you know, as a high school counselor and old MARM school teacher, it's very, very important, I think, to realize ownership of a project and a campus. And I think in a lot of ways the people in Prescott that have managed or tried to manage the Verde Valley in Sedona have come over to a whole new world to them. And in a lot of ways, they did not assume ownership of the film school or ownership of the Verde campus, the nursing program here. So I think if you go back to the way it was managed 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago, where it was people that actually lived in this community and worked with the people here in this community, the business community, the high schools, that work improvement force group, I'm not getting the name right, there was ownership and pride, and they accepted responsibility, and there was continuity in the program. So once you started a program, you stuck with that program, and if there were things that needed to be gotten or monies or buildings or whatever, they were gotten because that was part of you. And I think in a lot of ways that the downward spiral of student population is because of that very fact.
Well, easily along those lines, that on the Verde campus, you losing the heads of all those departments, right, as we did, those people were at every Verde Valley function there was, and people knew who they were. That whatever influence they had was college influence that they spread at every meeting, at every, like I said, function, at every club, and they were all over the place. So we're talking maybe, I don't know, half a dozen, 7, 8 key college staff people located in the Verde Valley, living in the Verde Valley, and functioning in the Verde Valley. That removing those people alone and their impact on the community. But I also want to say that they're, you know, Penny Wills was on the show, president of the college. One of their main answers seems to be, and it's a valid point to bring up how much enjoyment, how much impact the college has on individual lives. And as I think we said at the top of the show, nobody can argue with that. However, it becomes this also argument against the college's actions, because all of the things she's talking about are predicated upon having a community college in the community, in Sedona, in a functioning, fully staffed, fully programmed campus in Verde Valley, in Sedona, and that's what they're taking away. So while you're giving the anecdotal evidence, which is
wonderful,
nobody's going to argue with, it's also saying that anecdotal evidence will not be there. Christopher Fox Graham made the same point in his editorial. The things she's describing are soon to be gone.
When you look at the college, all the information, and we've all spent a lot of time going on the college website and talking to people, what you see is how completely interconnected they are over in Prescott and Prescott Valley. Their fundraisers, their connection with the city. I think they're going to put in money on the tennis courts, and they're going to try to get the city to put in some money, and then there's a tennis. They're so integrated, and they're so much of, I guess the best way to say it, is a very large part of Prescott Valley, to less extent. And you just don't have that over here. They don't have a presence. That wonderful little college is no longer feels like where it's at. I think for younger people, it doesn't offer anything like a welding. It doesn't offer any of those programs, Bob. They've all moved over to the other side. If they move nursing, which is, I guess, their largest program, certainly where they get the most graduate certificates, what do they have left except the wine?
The best they will have is the viticulture program, which in and of itself is not a big program. In fact, if they were going to develop that program, the very first thing they would do is to build housing. If you're going to have a Southwest, a serious regional training center, you're going to have reasonable on-campus housing so that people can come during the summer, during breaks, during other times
Absolutely.
For specialized programs.
Yeah. I wanted just to make Absolutely. A comment about the Southwest Winery. Many of the people over in Prescott that work for the college there and the people here in the Verde Valley that work for the college feel that their jobs, they're getting decreases in salaries now. Some programs are being cut. And the blame is put on the Southwest Wine Center. And I think people fail to realize that 100% of that money has been gotten through the community. So college money per se has not been used on that program. So people's idea that the Southwest Winery is causing difficulties, and that's why everybody has to tighten their belt because the budget is so in dire straits, is not correct. And I think a lot of people are unaware that the college's foundation, which stands separate from the college, has helped develop that program and assumed it, but it's been money that has been primarily raised from this area.
Now, a cynical guy or somebody that wanted to keep that rivalry between both sides of the mountain going, the Prescott side and Verde Valley side, would say the college has found a perfect they have this popular, certainly with a lot, a very sexy program in viticulture and enology, the wine thing, and they don't have to pay for it. They got somebody, other people paying for it. What a perfect, and then therefore freeing up money that they could spend on the other side of the mountain.
Are they really not paying for it, Ruth? The college is not all the new building going in? Are they putting any capital money
in? As far as we know, it's all been done through people giving money.
Instructors have salaries, I believe, and I don't.
Yes, and that would be yeah.
I don't believe that the salaries are coming out of.
No, you're correct.
Yeah.
No, the Ruth is correct in the sense that we've raised over $1 million at this point. They're putting it up, and I assume the construction is costing more than $1 million. They have an absolute commitment from the foundation to give them another $800,000. So it's $1.8 million. If it costs $3 million, you still have a gap that they're going to make, the college will have to pay. However, the foundation, on the foundation website, I checked it again yesterday just to make sure, and anyone can go to that website and check it, they are committed to raising $3 million, which is the cost of that facility. And what I think the college believes, although they'll never say this, is that eventually it will fail. They pulled the vocational training facility out of the Verde campus in 2008, put it over there. It failed. They see the campus in Camp Verde as failing, closed it. They see the Sedona campus as having failed, they closed it. So they don't, and on your program, the president listed some of the reasons why things over here didn't work. She said the general ed programs failed in Sedona. She said the vocational programs failed in Sedona. So behind the scenes, they think even that project will fail. And frankly, if it weren't for the strong, very, very strong community interest and support here, that project would never have gotten off the ground. It was basically forced on the college by the community itself.
Southwest Wine Center, you mean? Yes,
the Southwest Wine Center. But it is not a panacea. It's not the answer at all. You have to do much more. You have to have a plan for it. You have to plan to expand it if you're really committed to it. You really have to have housing for it, for the nursing program. You have to have a much better plan for the Verde if you're going to save it.
I guess the question I would ask one of their members, I'm not going to name him, is that he said it would cost $30 million to build a dormitory in the Verde Valley. And then somebody looked at the figures and said, well, you're building a dormitory in Prescott for $7 million. Why does it cost, $23 million more to build one over here than over there?
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure there's a sane response to that.
Well, it's again, I've given you a document put out by the college. It's on page one, and at the and in that information provided by the college, not by me, to the public and online, they have the cost of a new residence hall. They intend to build a third dormitory, a student housing complex is what it is, over there. Mm-hmm. And the price, if anyone can find it in their chart, is how much?
$6.75 million.
Yeah. So, in other words, the college is saying it costs us $6.75 million to build a facility from the ground up in Prescott. Yeah. But over here, it mysteriously costs $30 million.
We'll give them the figures. Everybody screws up figures once in a while. But
that's not. I don't accept that. There are the figures presented to the board, presented to the public, clear, unequivocal.
It's hard to
that's
make.
That's there.
Okay.
Right? I'm not going to accept
thank
that.
Thank you. It's okay. $23 million.
You're right not to accept them, but the person could have misspoke.
But let's
yes, just in the heat of the...
Heat of the discussion.
I do want to step back for a minute, and because this is an old argument. This goes back to the inception, practically. Dormitories on their side, historically, do you have any feeling, and not just talking about this current administration, we can go back 12 administrations. Yes. Why does Yavapai College resist building a dormitory in the Verde Valley so, I mean, adamantly? It doesn't even get, I don't believe it even gets serious discussion in the years that the college has been in existence.
I've always felt that it would be in direct competition with them.
So?
Well, I think they're afraid of competition, you know, that I think, you know, they don't have a firm belief in how beautiful Prescott is and what they can offer people in the Prescott area. If they were firmer in that conviction, I think they would see the beauty in the Verde Valley and be convinced that, indeed, we could have a second campus or a second regional area that has everything we have, and it would be good for the whole county. You know, I think we want to see Prescott flourish, and I think Steve said that a couple of shows
ago.
You know, I mean,
absolutely.
You know, and we want the college to flourish. I, as a retired educator, working with Mike Costantino for a number of years, we always tried to get all of our students to actually go to post-secondary education or training, because we knew that 80% of all the jobs out there required that. We did not want our kids just to sit at home and watch television after we tried to make them learn to read. Anyway, just my idea.
Yeah, I've had this same... I've been puzzled by why they haven't. They have a state-of-the-art fire training facility over here, built with, in part, government grants and with college funds several years ago. In talking to the people who on the faculty, who I won't name, who were around when that was built, they said, we should have housing, okay? They refused to bring in housing for them. Now, if you look at the training program in Prescott in terms of for the NARDA program, if you're a peace officer, you live 35 miles outside of Prescott Valley, they're telling you come to have and live in a residence hall. Why do they do that over there? Why don't they do it here? If you're developing a Southwest Regional Wine Center, something that's going to speak to several states.
Keyword being regional.
Yes, regional. Why don't you have a facility that can be used in a flexible fashion just like that? I don't know. If you're worried about nursing students, half of them having to drive from Prescott over here, how about putting in a housing facility so if they want to, they can stay here?
You have to be proactive in nonprofit things like the college, just like you do in a business. You have to take some chances. You have to do what's necessary to make things work. If you half do things, then you get half-baked results. Right?
Right, and I think that people fail to realize that we have 80 undeveloped acres at the Verde campus that the college owns outright, and that they could work with the Verde Valley Medical Center, who has long been a supporter of the college. I would say Ron Barber retired in 85 or in the 80s. They started a scholarship program for students to come to the college. Why can't we build the Allied Health Premier Campus on 80 acres that we own here in the Verde Valley? Why go out and buy another 80 acres? Of course, they'll say it's because of population growth.
They'll say that it's population growth, but I have a different concern. I don't think anything should be built unless it's absolutely necessary. That there is, as they said last week, a specific need. The on-campus, face-to-face teaching is down dramatically. These online courses that they put in place and the dual enrollment that they talked about 37% of all the students now are not on campus for courses, and it continues to go up in terms of that. With that kind of declining enrollment, why in the world would you ever undertake a $45 million new campus anywhere, regardless of how wonderful it might be? It makes no sense. And when you have an enrollment in Prescott Valley, currently half that of the Verde Valley.
Lots of great stuff on this show this morning. And if you've heard Bob Oliphant and everything else that's been said this morning, and you would like to take this up directly with the Yavapai College.
And just to introduce Bob and Ruth again, they've both been active fundraisers for the college over here in the Verde Valley. Bob was on the Board of Governors of Yavapai College. So these are not people coming from the outside who have no experience with the college. Ruth was a counselor there. And so you have people who spend a lot of time and a lot of volunteer time trying to support the college.
Today is the third.
Today is the third.
Then the meeting on March 4th would be tomorrow. I'm playing Oliphant here. Tomorrow would be the meeting. Yavapai College Governing Board meeting, 1 p.m. on the Sedona campus. In other words, the board is meeting in Sedona at 1 p.m.
Go up to the board meeting and have a little chat with the board members about what you would like to have for Sedona, for the Verde Valley.
And on March 6th, there will be representatives of the college at the Sedona City Council work session.
I believe we'll be the president, Penny Wills, will be there. And
we'll be talking about the 10-year plan.
And a senior
in the Sedona
executive.
City Council chambers.
Yes. Sorry, Mike.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and they'll have a senior financial person there for the city council meeting. That's an open meeting. It's not a city council meeting where they have a whole lot of other business. It starts at 1 o'clock. The entire work session is focused on the issue of Yavapai College and the Verde Valley. So it's not something that you'll have to
listen. Let's get the time straight. According to this, it's 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Okay. I thought you said 1 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
sorry, 3 o'clock.
We have everybody confused. Work session with the council, 10-year plan, 3 p.m., right here in Sedona. What, Bob?
Thursday. Right. Oh. On Tuesday.
Are you guys going to be there, or Bob, are you going to?
I will be there, and if I'm asked, I'll respond to any questions that I might be asked.
And on March 6th also, as the League of Women Voters is having a forum at the Cottonwood Rec Center at 7 p.m., and they're having a second one on March 20th, which I don't think is too far ahead, right here in Sedona. Since it's here in Sedona, we're broadcasting from Sedona. So we have League of Women Voters doing a discussion, a forum on college issues.
Well, I should add, I was initially invited and agreed to attend those meetings, but once the league talked to the college, I was promptly uninvited.
Disinvited.
So I won't be able to participate as a speaker in those
forums.
Well,
I believe all of these things have calls to the public at some point or another. So anyway, March 6th, Cottonwood Rec Center at night. March 20th, Sedona Library at night. But more immediately, they have a board meeting tomorrow on the Sedona campus, and they will be talking about the 10-year plan, which is a lot of what we are talking about in these several shows we've done on the college, at 3 o'clock the day after.
Thanks for being with us, folks. Thanks to Bob and Ruth for coming in and discussing this important issue again. Check our website, vvid.org, for updates and transcripts in the forms of podcasts.
This podcast will be up there in a few days. We have, and all our shows are up there. If you've missed some of the last few shows, they're there. BVID.org is where the podcasts are held.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.